This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
If you'd like to join the classes live in the masjid, then click on the link below. Inshallah, it will take you to a Telegram group that has the details of all the class timings, the dates, the days, the addresses and the locations of the masjid. So click on that link and hopefully we'll see you there, inshallah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Before I start a class, where is the brother that I promised 10 pounds to last week? Was it you? I was looking for you after I think I missed you. المسلمون على شروطهم, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, right? The Muslims, they have to stick. They have to stick to what? They have to stick with the conditions that they agree to, right? And likewise, the contracts. If there's a contract that has been written, right, you have to abide by the contract that you agree to. As Allah says in the Quran, يَا يَذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْفُوا بِالْعُقُودِ أَيَا الْعُهُودِ. Oh, you who believe, fulfill your contracts. طيب. Does anyone other than the brother remember why we gave him 10 pounds? Who the wadi' is? We mention who the wadi' is. Who's the wadi'? Where this ilm originated from, or who actually put it down as a science? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took it into his own hands to distribute, right, each allocated amount that every inheritor is entitled to. طيب. In today's class, inshallah ta'ala, there's a number of things that I want to make mention of. The first thing that we're going to be covering, inshallah ta'ala, is الحقوق المتعلقة بالتركة, which translates to be the rights. The rights attached to the inheritance. Does everybody know what that means? And there are four. There are four. Meaning that you have to ensure that these four things are done before the inheritance is distributed. Before the inheritance is distributed. Right? So you have that which has value. Okay? It's been left behind by the one who has passed away. Before this is now distributed. You know how last week we mentioned there are those who are entitled to half? Like who? Who? My daughter, Taymiyyah, hafidhaha Allah ta'ala, may Allah preserve her. If Abu Taymiyyah passes away tomorrow, فَإِنْ كَانَتْ وَاحِدَةً فَلَهَا النَّصْفُ. Because she's the only one in the equation, right? She has no brothers and no sisters. How much would she be entitled to? Half. And this is clearly and explicitly mentioned in the Quran. If she's by herself, she takes half. Before we give her half, we have to make sure that these four things happen. Okay, these four things need to be taken out of the inheritance before we give her her entitlement. Number one, funeral expenses. You don't have to take it out of the inheritance. It's not a must. However, if that's the only option, then you are allowed to take it out of the inheritance. Or the money that has been left behind. Or whatever of value that can be sold so it could cover the funeral expenses. Is it a must to take it out from there? No, it's not. Some families, They take it into their own hands. I'm going to pay for it. And in certain cases, you find it's a matter of pride. Right? We're going to pay for it. He has a family. They have money. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ May Allah protect us from this. Sometimes it's done to boast. Is that clear? طيب. Funeral expenses. Some funeral expenses are far more than others. How do we determine how much we spend on the funeral itself? Then Yujib. Who wants to answer that question? There are some very lavish funeral processes, right? صح? And there are those that try to keep it simple. How much are we allowed to actually take from the money that has been left behind, the inheritance, in order to cover the expenses? How do we determine this? Huh? That which covers the need. That which covers the need. Okay? Anything more than that, you can pay that from your own pocket. The one who's insisting that we should make it lavish, right? And we should buy, you know, sometimes what they do is, I don't know what they call in English. At the graveyard, there's what? A stone, صح? What is it called? Does anyone know? Huh? The headstone. They spend thousands on it. Right? They spend thousands on it. You don't necessarily even need that. You don't necessarily even need that. Right? If I had the option, I would basically tell them to remove it. But sometimes it's a very emotional period. Right? You just have to be smart in how you deal with certain situations. Right? That might cost, for example, now a couple of £1,000. Is it fair now that you spend lavishly on the funeral expenses when the inheritors may need that money? Just because you don't want to seem different from everyone else. Everyone's done it, so we need to do it as well. Huh? There's that cultural pressure. Or that pressure from society that you need to be like them. When in reality, you don't. You guys with me? So, you take from the inheritance that which is going to what? Cover the need of the funeral expenses. Is that clear? Bil ma'ruf. There are things in the Sharia, my brothers and my sisters, that you've been told to do. However, it hasn't been specified exactly how it should be done. Like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to be kind and dutiful to your parents. Was it exactly mentioned how you need to go and do that? Right? In some societies, massaging the feet of your parents is something that is dutiful. Right? And in different cultures, they have what? Different ways of being dutiful to their parents. Right? Likewise, now when it comes to the neighbor, you've been told to honor the neighbor. Right? Also, the visitor. You've been told to honor the visitor. صح ولا لا? At least the first night is what? Wajib, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Laylatul dayfi haqqun wajibun ala kulli muslim. The first night is a wajib. It's compulsory that you look after that guest. And when I said visitor, I was meaning the guest that comes from... طيب. Huh? How lavishly do you have to spend on him? This is something that would go back to urf. What does urf mean? Customs. Right? How the people that you are around would honor a guest, you must what? Huh? Behave within that capacity. This is why one time I said to the teacher, would you say that today's custom is that as soon as he comes through the door, you give him the Wi-Fi password? Do you guys agree with that? Should, right? Makes sense, huh? Can't, you know, live without internet today. Right? You give him the Wi-Fi password. It's one of the things that you do in order to honor your guest. طيب. And so on and so forth. And there's many other things in the Sharia that you've been instructed and commanded to fulfill. However, you haven't been actually told how to go about it. Is that clear? طيب. Number two, debts. You must make sure that you pay any outstanding debts. And this is of two types, brothers. We'll put it as A and B. A is outstanding debts on that which will be distributed. Don't even guess you can see that. But what that basically says is outstanding debts on that which will be distributed. What does that mean? Does anyone have an idea? Does it make sense to you? Huh?
And it's going to be inheritance, he has to pay off before they give it.
Good. Very good example. Right? You have a very expensive car. Right? 50,000. Huh? You've paid off the majority of that. However, there's still an amount that remains. The inheritors, won't they benefit now from this car that this mayit has left behind? Wouldn't the inheritors benefit from maybe selling that car off and then using that money amongst themselves? Something that holds value, sah? طيب. Another example is, sometimes one may need cash. Okay? However, nobody wants to lend him any money from his friends, from his relatives. His only other option is to go to a pawn shop. P-A-W-N. Don't think what... P-A-W-N. You guys know what a P-A-W-N shop is? A pawn shop. Right? What happens when you go to this pawn shop with a W? Right? You might hand over your gold as collateral and they give you what? Cash. And they give you cash. They will only give you your gold back once you've paid it off. Once you have paid it off. Is that clear? Or likewise, at times you may have certain properties that are being held as collateral. Or anything of value that is being held as collateral. That would need to be paid off the amount that you took. Right? Before that gold can now be distributed to those who are entitled. Make sense? B is the debt of the deceased. The debt of the deceased. The first was, that falls under the second point, okay? Outstanding debts on that which will be distributed. B here is the debts of the deceased. Debts of the deceased. And this is again of two types. The debts between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also the debts between you and the creation. What does that mean? You have a kafara to pay. Kafara, an expiation. Right? It could be that you didn't fast the whole month. It could be a woman, for example, now who was pregnant, weak, right? Breastfeeding. At the end of the month, she has to pay what? Fidya. She has to pay fidya. Is that clear, brothers? It's a common question that women who are breastfeeding tend to ask. You guys with me? Right? I can't, I'm breastfeeding, and I'm also pregnant at times. What shall I do? Fatwa is that she pays fidya, according to some of the scholars. She doesn't need to make up for it. That's an amount that is paid. Okay? If she doesn't have the ability now to buy the food now to distribute it to the poor. طيب. And then you also have, for example, the debts between you and the people. if he has now left behind £50,000 and Muhammad owes that individual a fifth of it, £10,000, you have to make sure that you pay the £10,000 before you distribute it to the inheritors, the heirs. That's very, very important, because sometimes what happens is it gets distributed, only then they find out that there is some debt. How are you going to now take it from those that may have already spent it? So the faradi, the scholar in faraid, before he distributes the faraid, inheritance, he has to ask questions about that individual's debt. You guys with me? طيب. Number three, the fulfillment of any bequests which you will find in the will. Okay, and there is conditions for this. There are conditions. For example, there shouldn't be more than a thuluth, right? Second condition that they normally tend to mention. I'm not going to go too deep into it now, because it will just make it so much more longer and complicated, right? The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "La wasiyyah li warithin, illa an yujizahu al-waratha." Right? There is no wasiyyah. You can't say that I'm going to give, let's just say, for example, half of the money that I'm going to be leaving behind, or half of the property, to my brother, because he's a warith. He may well be inheriting me, which we will go into inshallah ta'ala another time, right? Because he's already an inheritor, right? For you to allocate an amount in your will is not allowed unless all of the other inheritors, they agree to. But don't worry about it, inshallah ta'ala. We'll go more deep into that. It has its own independent chapter. How many is that? And then, brothers, the inheritance is then divided. So these are the rights that are attached to the inheritance. Wallahi, if you look at the different madahib, they have different ways of putting this into order, right? Walakin al-asl, that you go with this, inshaAllah ta'ala. Order bi idhnillah ta'ala. Yeah?
If you're in debt one, what about the opposite way? Someone owes you money and you die, does it get added to your inheritance?
So let's just say, go on, say that again. So you die, and Jabir needed to give you £10,000. We have to take that money from Jabir and then distribute it. Same, yes. هذا في ذمته. Doesn't get away with it. خلاص. Unless, of course, he stipulated it previously and he said, if I die, then you're musamah. And of course, that would need to be what? Confirmed with evidences and proof. Is that clear? There oh here it is, yeah. Let's now, inshallah ta'ala, go into the conditions. The conditions, okay, that must be met before you start distributing the inheritance. What is the condition? Prerequisite. That which needs to be met before you do the act of worship. I'm not even going to try and translate that. Right? I normally translate it when I teach fiqh. But what that basically in essence means, right? If you don't come with the condition, then you don't come with that which you did the condition for. Huh? And the fact that you came with the condition, it doesn't always guarantee that you came with that which you did the condition for. So, okay. طيب. على كل حال, in summary, it's a prerequisite, that which needs to be met beforehand. Okay, the conditions of salah. One of the conditions is you cover your awrah. It comes before the salah, صح? You have to cover your awrah and then pray. Right? You can't just say, I'm going to pray and then cover my awrah. Likewise, there are conditions here. There are conditions here, and they are three, brothers. The first one is موتو المورثي حقيقة أو حكمة. What this means, brothers and sisters, or if you translate that into English, making sure that the one who's being inherited from has passed away. Either, what is it to read? حَقِيقَةً أَوْ حُكْمَةً. What does that mean, حَقِيقَةً? Does anyone know? Those who know the Arabic language? Huh? Truth, you guys are saying, right? Meaning that he has actually really died. You've established this because he happened in front of you. The man just died in front of me. I've seen it. I've witnessed him now departing from this world. He's died. Hukman, here, hukman, is he takes the ruling of having passed away. Okay. Let's just say somebody has gone missing for many years. And this is again one of the chapters that will be studied later on. Okay? They call it Babul Mafqud, the chapter of when somebody gets lost. There's a way to calculate how much he would get if he's found. And if he remains missing, then how much is distributed to the heirs, and so on and so forth. Right? What happens here, brothers and sisters, is this issue is taken to the judge, and then the judge rules that he should be searched for, right? Years may go by. The judge may say that you have to wait X amount of years. Let's just say 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Huh? And only then it can be what? Distributed. So he issues a verdict that he, khalas now, okay, takes the same ruling as someone who has passed away. Okay? He takes the same ruling as someone who has passed away. Is that clear? And only then it is distributed. So حقيقةً, pretty clear. You've seen somebody passing away, right? He died right in front of you, or he got shot right in front of you. This person has died. In truth, this is the reality. حُكْمًا, an issue, or should I say a verdict has been issued, that he takes the same ruling as somebody who has passed away. Are you guys enjoying the class?
Yes.
Huh? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, إِذَا لَهَوْتُمْ فَالْهَوْ بِالرَّمِي. When you play, or you want to enjoy yourself, then enjoy yourself by playing with archery. And then he also said, وَإِذَا تَحَدَّثْتُمْ فَحَدِّثُوا بِالْفَرَائِدِ. And when you have your chit-chats, and have your chit-chat surrounding or, you know, speaking about al-fara'id, right? I remember, subhanAllah, when I was going through fara'id, at times we'd get bored, me and some of my friends, and just to kind of like move our focus away from the exams, we'd start arguing about how this should be distributed and how we shouldn't. It'd be really fun. I'd drop him a mas'ala, and I'd try to trick him, eh? And then he'd give me one, huh? طيب. Second condition. حياة الوارث بعد موت مورثه. Okay. The one who's inheriting must be alive after the one he's inheriting from has passed away. I'll say it again. Jabir has a brother, okay, called Ma'ad, sahih? Jabir passes away, Ma'ad has to be alive. In order for us to say that he is an inheritor from Jabir. Is that clear? طيب. This condition comes in extremely handy, my beloved brothers and sisters. When you go to the chapter of Al-Gharqa wal-Hadma, right? People drowning, people dying because a block of bricks fell onto them, or a car crash. Is that clear? Not knowing who preceded the other. Not knowing who preceded the other. Because depending on who dies first, it can play a big role in what is inherited. So, you have, give you guys another example, myself and Taymiyyah. In order for Taymiyyah to inherit from me, she needs to be alive after I die. She needs to be alive. Number three, علم قرب الوارث من الميت. You need to know the relationship between the one inheriting from the one who has passed away. In order for him to inherit. Otherwise, you're going to start distributing the inheritance to people who are not entitled. So you need to know. Do you guys agree with that? Right? And inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to elaborate and mention three categories in a short while, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum. Give me a couple of minutes. Have a couple of minutes break. I'll be back. What was the third condition, brothers? Huh? You have to have knowledge of who? Naam, you need to know the relationship between the one inheriting from the one who has passed away, right? Make sense? So I've just passed away. A woman just comes along and she says, I'm entitled to his inheritance. Hey, yeah? Sit her down. طيب. Are you his unofficial wife? What are you? Where'd you come from? Huh? You just appeared. Nobody knew who you were. Or nobody knew your relationship with this man here. So you have to know that there is what? A relationship. Right? Or this random woman comes out of nowhere. And then she claims that I am his daughter. And nobody knew. Are there cases like that? Yes, without a shadow of a doubt. Tell you guys I'm a relative. I don't know whether I should say this on camera or not. I was told of a relative who, of course, has the Ummul Iyal, the mother of the kids. In Arabic, they call the mom who has your kids, right? Ummul Iyal, the mother of your kids, right? He's lived with her for so many years. If he wants to marry a second, he'll never ever be vocal about it. And in some situations, it can cause a lot of problems, marrying a second woman, right? Because of him fearing that the household will become destroyed, he won't say it. He won't even joke about it. And they say the quiet ones are the ones who are most dangerous. على كل حال, many years after that, this mother, who is his first wife, she wanted to take some of his clothes to the wash machine. Guess what she uncovers? She sees all of these different passports in his jacket. She opens it up. It has his surname, and she's looking at the pictures. I don't know them. Guess who they are? They're all his kids from another woman. I heard that she passed out the moment she found out. And they're not young little kids, right? They've grown old now. They've grown. Subhanallah. طيب, they turn up and they say, we are entitled to the inheritance. We have to check now, what is their relationship to this man that they claim to be a relative to? Or a son to? Or a daughter to? إلى آخره. فهمتم? نعم. The scholars, my beloved brothers and sisters, right? They split the relatives into three. They split the relatives into three. The first one is ذَوُلْ فُرُوض. ذَوُلْ فُرُوض. Okay? I'll put it in English. ذَوُلْ فروض. ذو الفروض with a da at the end. Okay, who are they? They are the ones who have a right to definite shares in assets left behind by the deceased. They are the ones who have a right to definite shares left behind by the deceased. They have a right. A specific right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allocated a specific amount to them. Who remembers the six fractions? Shall I offer another amount? Who remembers the six fractions?
طيب half third two thirds quarter
a sixth and eighth.
An easy way to remember it, you have an half. What's half of half? Quarter. What's half of a quarter? Eighth. Easy way of remembering that. That's already three out of the way. Okay, another easy way to remember then the next part is you got a third. What's half of a third? Half a third, is it? Are you sure? So, third, sixth. Hey, yeah. What's a third times two? Two thirds? Not rocket science. I feel like you guys look at me, this guy's trying to trick us. Right? Faraid is very easy, brothers. Al-Faraid sahal. Huh? Sometimes it's just obvious certain masail related to Faraid. Okay, so you divide by two, and then you come back to it and multiply by two, and that's how you get the six fractions. These six fractions, my brothers and my sisters, and now maybe you can see why I mentioned it last week, because they come in handy for the next lesson and the next lesson and then the one that comes after it, ila akhirih. Wadih? There are individuals who have been allocated a certain amount in the Quran. Like I mentioned to you guys, how much does Taymiyyah get if her father passes away? Half. And there are conditions. The wife might either get a quarter or an eighth. There are conditions. Wadih? So these kind of individuals, brothers and sisters, they have what? A right to definite shares in assets left behind. Because their amount was specified in the Quran. If I have a house, right, and I passed away, Taymiyyah is going to get half. Wadih? She's going to what? Take half. Because her half was specifically mentioned in the Quran. Wadih? Ah, sib. That's how you have to write in English and put that little mark there. In Arabic is what? Aasib. Aasib. In English, they translate this as a residuary beneficiary. Who can tell me what that means? Even that requires a translation. Anyone know? Is there a lawyer here? You might be very familiar to these terms. A residuary beneficiary. Go on. I remember I asked Abu Bakr this. You guys know Abu Bakr? I said, Abu Bakr, does this sound familiar to you? A residuary beneficiary. And then he said, you mean kada wa kada wa kada? I was like, oh, mashallah, your English is pretty good. The reason why you know the answer is because you studied in Arabic. But you don't actually know what a residuary beneficiary means, though. Jabir, mashallah. Okay, what does that mean?
Like income that will keep coming in the future.
Isn't that what they call a passive income?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone else? Now, honestly, brothers, feel free to... What did Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu say when he sent a letter to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari? إِذَا لَهَوْتُمْ فَلْهُ بِالرَّمِي. When you play, then play with bows and arrows. وَإِذَا تَحَدَّثْتُمْ فَحَدِّثُوا بِالْفَرَائِدِ. And when you chit-chat, then chit-chat with faraid. We're just having a chit-chat now. So don't feel some sort of discomfort to put your hand up. Hey.
Residual means leftover and beneficiary means someone who benefits. So residual beneficiary is someone who benefits from the leftover inheritance.
Jameel, that's what we need. Right? In UK law terms, right? Someone may write in his will that I want this particular asset to be handed over to so-and-so. Right? However, there are other things that he promised so-and-so. Muhammad, Abu Bakr, and kada wa kada wa kada. Right? After they take out the gifts and whatever needs to be distributed to Muhammad, Abu Bakr, and kada, there is that individual who takes the remaining. And he is referred to as a residuary beneficiary. Is that clear? So in simple terms, the remaining. Is that clear? So now, you have the first category. When everyone's given their shares, okay, when they are given their definite shares in these assets, like Taymiyyah is going to get half. Hey, what's going to happen to the other half? She'll give it to Queen Elizabeth? She'll hand over her the remaining because it's on her land? What happens to it? There are also other individuals who have what? A definite share to the asset. Once everyone is given theirs, right? I'll give you guys a quick calculation of how my inheritance will be distributed. Right? I have parents and I have a bunch of brothers and sisters and half brothers. Okay? And I have one wife or two wives? Or three? Tayyib. Where there's two or three wives, an eighth. If there is a child in the equation, the wife takes an eighth. Put your hand up if you've got kids. Got a kid? Got a wife, yeah? One, two, one. Tayyib. Straight away, the wife is entitled to only an eighth. As long as the child is in the equation, eighth. We'll come on to all of that inshallah ta'ala. When one may take an eighth, when they might take a half, when they might take a sixth, and it's conditions. That's a dars, don't worry, that's going to come. Whether it's one or two or three or four, eighth. One time my teacher said something very, very funny, right? I couldn't stop laughing. When a man marries a woman, right? She's like the only one, sah? She takes all his time and everything, and it's just her and nobody else. No sharing, no caring. They say sharing is caring, right? There's no sharing when it comes to the husband, Jameel. Another woman comes into the equation. She has to share everything now, sah? She has to share his time, right? SubhanAllah. But it doesn't stop there. Even after he passes away, she's still what? Going after her. Sharing the money. So it's not only sharing in his lifetime, but only also sharing after he's passed away. So whether it's one, two, or three, or four, right? هي دائما تزاحم. Right? So there's always that eighth for the wife or the wives. So then you have Taymiyyah and Abu Taymiyyah's father and mother. The mother takes a sixth, the father takes a sixth. Taymiyyah takes half and the wife takes an eighth. Okay, and then there's a house. For argument's sake now, if there is something remaining, right? And they've all taken their right. That remaining goes to an individual. He is the residuary beneficiary. Does that make sense? By the way, this example that I gave might not necessarily be waqi'i, right? Because there's ways of calculating, but I'm just mentioning it in that way so you understand. If all of these individuals that I mentioned, right? The father, the mother, the wife, and the daughter, they take their set amount that has been allocated from them in the Quran. That's been allocated for them in the Quran. And then there is something left. That something is given to the residuary beneficiary who takes the remainder. Does that make sense? We will go on to inshallah ta'ala who is from idhawul furud. And then who an asib is. And then you have the third who is a rahim. who is a rahim. What do they call them? Dawul arham. Naam. A relation that is connected through females. Who can give an example of that? Huh?
Milk siblings.
Sorry? Milk siblings. طيب. Put them out of the equation. Another type of relationship where you're connected.
Kids.
Huh?
Kids.
Kids in what sense? I'll give you an example, right? I have a mom, صح? And she has a mom. You guys get it now? A relationship that is now connected through females. What's the connect between me and my maternal grandmother? Who? Who's in between? Mom. What was that which we mentioned? Relations connected through females. Let me just rub all of this out. Relations connected through females, like, I'll just put my initials, ATs. You guys know what AT stands for, right? Maternal grandmother. What's the connect between me and also my grandmother? It's my mother. Do I inherit her? This is just an example, okay? In very, very rare scenarios, does someone from the Dawil Arham inherit? Very rare. Very, very rare. Because a lot of the time you find that's already been taken by the Dawil Furud, and then there'll be an Asib, someone who's a residuary beneficiary, right? Is that clear? The first in the two categories will what? Take everything. Does that make sense so far? You guys sure? I'll take three questions very, very quickly, and then we'll move on to our next class.
Would someone from your wife's, like someone who's connected to you from your wife's side, count as the third category?
Yes, very good. So my relationship with my wife, she's my wife, Taib, her father. What's the connect between me and my father-in-law? Woman. So do I inherit from? No, I don't. Very good example. Zakallah khair. Your name?
Saad.
Huh?
Saad.
Saad. Where are you from, Saad?
Pakistan.
Pakistan. Huh?
You see the Asib, they take the remaining of the inheritance.
They take the remaining. That's what I'm saying. That's what I said. Very, very rare that they might inherit. Exactly. Let's just say, for example, it's a very long discussion, right? There's a whole chapter on Dawil Arham. And you know where they put it? Right at the end of the books of inheritance. If we come to it. And from the angle of if we come to it, that's why they put it right at the end. Right? In a case, for example, there is no one from the first category. And then the second category. Who does it then move on to? Adih. Which is very, very rare if you think about it. Everybody here at least has someone from the Dawil Furud. Those who have a specific amount allocated to them by Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? In whatever asset is distributed. Adih. And then there'll be those who take the remainder. Adih. Is there anyone here who doesn't have anyone from the first or the second category? That's exactly my point. Yeah? I was gonna have one more question.
You know the last one, the Dawul Arham. It's relations, three females. But does the person itself have to be female? So like my cousin that's a male on my mom's side.
So let's just say, for example, there's a woman who has a mother who's also a woman, and then the grandmother. Does she inherit from the grandmother? No, because her connect or the one in between is a woman. That's just the way I thought, maybe translating it makes sense. Is that easy or hard, everything that we went through today? Honestly, brothers, you can tear me apart. Huh? Was it easy, was it hard? Honestly. Huh? A lot of things start to make sense, right? In real day-to-day scenarios. Everyone dies, and most people, they leave something behind. Right?
صلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم